I Suck at Dating with Dean Ungler and Jared Haven, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Jared, do you want to bring us in?
Okay, I got you. Hey, welcome back to
What Is Up, Sucky Daters? Welcome to the all-new episode of Help I Suck at Dating. The wait is over. We are finally back. Jared and I both recording from our respective locations. Obviously, if you listen to last week's episode, it was Kaylin and I were co-hosting. The week before that, Jared and Ashley were co-hosting. This week, we are back to our standard format. We got a great episode for you guys. Not only are Jared and I back together, but we also have Bibiana Julian from Bachelor Colton Season, Bachelor Paradise, Bachelor Winter Games is going to be joining us. She actually is hosting What a Girl Wants this week as well. More on that later. Jared, I haven't talked to you, actually, I don't think, in a couple weeks, aside from a couple texts. So fill me in, man. What's going on? How are you?
You know, just living the dream. Holidays are amongst us, but, you know, COVID's still around, so that's just ruining everything. I'm doing well, though. Ashley and I are doing well. Family's healthy. Everybody's doing well. It's all you can ask for right now. Also, just to mention, we do have coming up on the podcast, just to tease, you know, a little bit more. We have Justine and Caleb from Love Island USA Season 2. And they left the show together and very happily in love. So we're going to catch up with them and see what's going on in their world. And in my world, bro, I don't know. It's pretty boring. Like, putting up a Christmas tree, that's always fun. So, like, celebrating the holidays very early because there's nothing else to do. Like, it's, you know, what else are you going to do?
Let me ask you this. So you put the Christmas tree up, and this is in Rhode Island or this is in where?
Virginia. So we're on the East Coast. We're staying on the East Coast for the holidays. Just there's not much for us to be doing in LA, so we're gonna be here for the foreseeable future.
So the tree is erect, but is it decorated at the moment?
Currently being decorated. We started last night, so Ashley's parents has a big foyer, and the tree is like 20 feet tall. It's like the New Year's the Rockefeller Center tree, except better, because if you saw pictures of that one, it's disgusting right now. This one's great. And there's a lot of fun ornaments on there. There's child pictures of both Lauren and Ashley, which are both and equally embarrassing. So that's fun, putting those right front and center in front of the front door. And then, yeah, I'm trying to think of what else have I been doing, man? Living a very bored life. Oh, we were on Bachelorette. That was cool. I forgot about that. We hosted
a group date. Were on the classroom date.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun to film.
Let's talk about that a little bit. So you actually had a chance to kind of meet some of Tayshia's guys, obviously, before we were introduced to them on the TV show. So what were you, and I think you can speak freely on this because it's already aired and we already obviously know you're there. What were your first impressions of the guys that you were able to meet? Which ones did you like? Which ones didn't you like?
So have you been watching?
I watched the last episode and then the other couple episodes like sporadically, but not too deep.
But you have like a general idea of who the guys are.
Yeah.
Dude, she's got a good group. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. When I, at least on the group date, the guys that I met and interacted with, all very down earth, all super cool. I really enjoyed just hanging around with them. And they were so fun and upbeat about the entire group date. There didn't seem to be one person who was a Debbie Downer. Bennett's the man. Love Bennett. Big fan of him. He also knows the Winklevosses, which is another reason why I'm a big fan of him. And, dude, it was fun. Like, so we went down to La Quinta a few months ago. We had to quarantine there. So they put us in a hotel room, but it was a nice, little area that Ashley and myself, and of course Lois had to come. She was there too. And we had a little backyard area. So we had to stay inside our designated room for, I think, 3 full days before we could see anybody. And then on the 4th day we got tested. And then on the 5th day we got tested. And as long as we had 2 negatives, on the 6th day was when we entered the bubble and filmed.
Nice.
It was cool. It was, dude, you know, like, I don't know. Have you done like any cameos on the show since being a cast member?
I don't think so.
It's a lot better. You know how you're a cast member and you have no rights. You are, you are just not a human being at the time. Like, you can't have your phone. You can't know anything. You're locked down. You just go wherever producers tell you. Like, here, man, it was just like, as soon as we got our 2 negatives, the morning before we filmed, like, I walked down to the coffee shop, I talked to some of the producers, I saw Harrison, like, it was just like, you're a part of the crew. It was, it's fun.
Did they have your phone, or did you have your phone on you?
No, we had our phone the entire time. It was funny, because when we originally went down to La Quinta, we thought we were going for Claire. I swear to God.
Oh, no way.
So they called us about a week before we left and said, hey, could you guys come down for about a week because you have to quarantine stuff and be a part of Claire's group date? We said, sure, yeah, of course. And when we went down there, still assumed that we were going to be on a date with Claire. And then on the second or third day, we were quarantined to the hotel room. I was looking at my phone and all of a sudden, all these rumors started blowing up that Claire was leaving The Bachelorette. Hmm. And I talked to Ashley about it, and it was like, there's no way this is happening. Well, it's obviously a farce, and it's a whole bunch of nothing. And then it started really picking up steam with social media. So then Ashley and I, because we have a little backdoor area with a fence, so we were standing on chairs just looking out to see if we could see anything, whether we could see Tayshia walk by or if we could see Claire or just get any information, because here we are in the Bachelorette bubble where they're filming and we have no idea what the hell is going on. So it was actually quite a fun few days trying to just gather information. And then finally, after we tested negative once, a producer was allowed to come in with a mask on. And he was like, Tayshia's the Bachelorette, and you will not be going on a group date with Claire. You'll be doing a group date with Tayshia. So it was kind of wild there for a little while, but it was fun, man. It's always fun going back, and it's weird to say because, as you know, like, it's amazing how they can kind of not. I don't want to say screw you over, but you know they're out to make a television show, and I still love the production. I still love the show. It feels, it's going to sound really corny, but it feels like my family. And it felt like that when we went down to film, because we saw all the producers and hung out with them. And like I said, we got to, you know, hang out with Chris Harrison. We talked to him on the phone for a little while afterwards. And seeing Tayshia, who we've befriended over the past couple of years, well, you know, she came to so many iHeart and festivals in Tahoe, and it was cool. It just felt it feels really nice to have a sense, and you get this too, like a sense of belongingness to something, and that's what we get with the show.
Yeah, I would know what that feels like because they've never asked me and Caitlin to do anything, so. The belongingness that you feel is lost on me since I have never been, I've never felt belong. But this isn't about
you.
Me
got
and
invited back to do the what was it? You guys did the interview for the, and you know they're inviting Ashley, and I'm just an extension of that.
Irrelevant. Anyways, what were your first impressions of the guys? Was there? I know you said you liked a lot of them. A lot of them were down to earth and humble.
Yeah.
Was there anyone that kind of rubbed you the wrong way?
Seriously, no. That was the crazy part. We were expecting some sort of villain. Or somebody who is going to stir up some drama, and nobody did. Now, granted, the nature of the group date was very lighthearted. You know, we quizzed the guys on math and geography, and then we did like this, you know, pull a tug, whatever the hell it is. That didn't sound right, but, you know, pull tuggy. What was I saying? Oh, and then there's actually one part of the date that got edited out, but it was fun. So there was this bag of all feminine products, and one guy was sitting in a chair facing away from the other guy, who his teammate, who had to pick a product out of the bag and try to explain what it was to the guy who couldn't see, and then the guy who couldn't see had to guess what the product was. So that was a lot of fun. You know, they would pull out, like, obviously one that was used was a tampon or a maxi pad. And they were like, oh, it goes, it stops, you know, this happens once a month and this thing like goes and stops, you know. And so it was quite comical. Dude, nobody run me the wrong way. Like, I'm trying to, you know, I know Chasen and Ed had their big drama throughout the episode, but that really didn't show its colors on our group date. That must have happened much later.
Was it awkward when Bennett leaned in for that kiss?
Oh yeah, it was super awkward. It was really great though, because it's such a Bennett move, you know. So we awarded Bennett with the grown ass man plaque, and of course he stood up there with his bathrobe as if he was in front of the paparazzi, like posing with Tayshia. I was like, oh god. And then he went in for a kiss in front of all the other dudes. And I don't think it wasn't that Tayshia didn't want to kiss Bennett. I actually think she's kind of intrigued by him. But you just don't do it in front of the other guys. And all of us knew, like, Tayshia just felt so awkward because she's like, everybody's watching and okay, we're kissing. So it was pretty cringeworthy. But it's, you know, it almost didn't matter because it's Bennett and he's such a caricature of himself that it's, you know, you kind of just laugh at it.
Did it make you miss being on the show at all?
No. Oh my God. It made me so happy that we weren't a part of the show. Not to say, like I said, I love the show. I love everything about it. But as you can attest, being on the show itself is not as glorious as it appears. You know, you're very restricted on where you can go, what you can do. You're cut off from the outside world. You can't talk to family or friends. You know, especially for these guys, there's no traveling involved. So they don't really have, quote unquote, days off. Because when you travel on the show, you get to at least not be on camera or mic'd up. You can kind of just not feel like you're walking on eggshells constantly. And these guys don't get it because they're stuck at this resort. And then we'll see that again, obviously, in Matt James' season because they're filming right now in, I think, Pittsburgh. I think that's where the resort is. But no, man, it didn't make me miss being on the show.
Is his season filming entirely in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, they're doing the same thing. They rented out a resort once again, and they're going to film all in one location.
Oh, I just figured that they were going from resort to resort within the U.S., but that, I guess that makes more sense for them to be over there. But you did make a good point, because the fondest days that I have to remember our time on Bachelorette were the days of traveling, like when we were in Norway and we've got to like just walk around with no mics, no cameras or anything like that, and just like kind of like goof around for the entire time.
Do you have one memory that happened off camera that's like your favorite from filming?
I don't know about that. I just remember specifically when we were in Denmark, it was like me, Peter, and Alex and Adam all went into like this big fish market together and like spent the day exploring the fish market. And we were like, you know, like drinking beer and like getting good food and like all this stuff that you would just do on a normal day, like if you were a tourist in Denmark. And those were the days that were like, those were the actual, like you said, you're not walking on eggshells. You can actually like kind of like relax a little bit, and let loose and like laugh and crack jokes at each other. Like obviously you're doing all those things otherwise, but it just like was a less pressure, I guess you could say, that day. And you're right. These guys not having that, like that's gotta be brutal. Well, because those are the only days that you could use to like decompress. And if you can't decompress, then you're so.
Yeah. Like, you need that. You need I've realized that I need guy time. You know, I need to just be able to say things that I don't have to be concerned about saying in front of my friends and not be judged for. You know, that's why golf is so great. You know, it's like Vegas. What happens on the golf course stays on the golf course.
Well, let me ask you this. Of all the guys, and having met a few of them and now seeing them on television, which ones are your front runners?
So Ben is definitely a front runner. They definitely had some chemistry between the two of them. He was on the group date. I'd say this guy, Noah, the mustache guy, the guy that's, you know, is just like the poor man's version of you. No offense to Noah. Noah's a, you know, very good looking man, but, you know, there are very few Deans in the world. And so he had the mustache and then obviously shaved it off. And there's only one man. Ashley and I said this. We did like this recap for E! News and we said this, that there's only one guy in the franchise that can have a mustache and that man is Dean, and Dean is allowed to have that mustache whenever he wants.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
I'd say kind Noah, words. I'd say Ben. And then I guess those are like my two very front runners as of right now, but it's also, I'm just basing this off the last episode. So who the hell knows what's going to happen?
You know, it's funny, cause I had a man crush on Ben too, watching the season. I was like, oh my God, he's so cute. He seems smart, well-spoken. He's, like, super into Tayshia. I like Ben. And then, like, the more I watched him, and then I think I, like, creeped his Instagram. And Kaylin and I were sitting right next to each other as we were doing all this. And I was like, I started getting major F-boy vibes from him.
Totally.
And obviously, it takes one to know one, you know? So I think that I'm speaking from experience here. But I do agree. I still think he's probably my front runner as well. But I would proceed with caution. If I were in Tayshia's shoes.
I agree with you. I like Ben, but he does seem to just say the right things way too much. Yeah. It doesn't seem authentic. It seems like he's not playing a playbook, but like, you know, saying what he thinks he should say, which I guess is okay because, you know, when you first start dating someone, you just want to, you know, make the best first impression you can. But unfortunately, within the Bachelor world, because everything is so sped up, you need to kind of just let that part go and just dive right into a relationship and not worry about any type of first impressions.
You know, you want to know who I really like too, that I think is maybe an unpopular opinion, is I like Ed.
Oh, I like Ed. Well, I like Ed. I just wish he would let go of whatever the Chasen feud he has.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think I dislike Chasen so much that I'm empathizing with Ed. So
Wolverine,
much.
Baby. Wolverine. Yeah. You don't want to see Wolverine. Yeah. I can't believe you did the claws. I met Chasen. Very nice guy. But, dude, I cannot believe you did the claws. He legitimately...
That's so funny.
You don't want to see the Wolverine. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm surprised you didn't like that. I figured Love Man would like that more than anything.
Dude, I love Logan. Hugh Jackman, big fan. But, my God, could you imagine if I Love Man. That was so cringeworthy. That was so bad. I'll never forget that. That was obviously a partnership decision. Let me just say that wasn't me alone. Love Man, Jesus Christ. Oh God.
Yeah. Hey, I think it was a great. I think it exemplified you in and well, perfectly. And
unfortunately,
and
it did. Unfortunately. Yeah. Once people met me, they were like, oh yeah, this totally makes sense now. That dude is Love Man.
But yeah, I agree. Noah, Ben, Ed is my sleeper. I think Bennett obviously has to be in there because he went to Harvard or something, right?
Oh, Bennett?
Yeah.
Oh, he's too much of a big character to be let go now. He has to like at least make it top six.
Yeah. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think because this is your first season that you've actually like cameoed on the main season, right? Because you've been on Bachelor in Paradise a couple times since then. I know that, but...
Yeah, Paradise. But yeah, this is the first time, we ever did a Bachelorette cameo. It felt cool. It was just, you know, I'm assuming that they can't get this actual celebrities. Like, so they have to just go with previous cast members because of COVID and quarantining, you know. Ashton Kutcher's not going to quarantine in the Bachelor bubble to make a cameo, you know what I mean? So, but I'm so glad.
Did you get
so
paid
glad.
For all those days you quarantined too?
It was a flat fee. It wasn't much, obviously, but that's besides the point. Like just being asked to go back is for Ashley and me what matters most. It's just cool that, you know, not to rub it in, but we felt pretty cool. Dude, you and Caitlin are definitely gonna get asked back. Okay. I'm not
sounds
worried about
really
you.
Cool. It sounds like you guys had a really fun time.
Yeah, it was cool. You missed out, bro. Like... I missed out on the party. All right, well, we do have a couple great guests coming up. Like we said, next up, you know her, you love her from Colton season. Is that what you said?
Yep.
She's also on Winter Games. She was on Paradise. She's been on all the shows. Big hit, fan favorite. Wait. Bibiana. Whoop.
I think she was on Ari season. I take it back.
Oh, she was on Ari season.
That's my bad. I misled you. So Ari season, Bachelor Winter Games, Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah, I'm just going to blame you for that.
Yeah, absolutely, as you should. She's coming up next. We're going to talk to her for a little bit. We're going to see what's going on in her life. And then we're going to jump to our Love Island interview as well. So stick around for that. We will be right back.
Hey, welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating, All You Suck Army. We have a very special, wonderful, beautiful guest who is on the line right now. I'll tell you, my wife, Ashley, speaks of this person so highly. I'm not joking. I mean, it's Bibiana. But Bibiana, I'm not joking when Ashley says that you might be the prettiest girl that's ever been on The Bachelor. I swear to God, she said this before. So it's Bibiana Julian, everybody.
Thank you. That's a reach because I feel that the ladies that go on this show are all extremely beautiful. So I love Ashley so much. She's like the best hype girl.
I know you guys. I know it sucks. I wish you guys hung out more. I know you live down in Florida because you were obviously on Winter Games, a season that I don't speak of, but that's okay. But you guys became really close throughout that experience.
Yeah, Ashley was awesome. We won't get into Winter Games.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's all right. I'm just teasing. So how are you? What are you up to? How's life?
I'm good. I mean, life is going. It's just funny. I was catching up with one of the producers that I'm pretty close to, and she's like, how are you? And I'm like, I am 2020 right now. It's just like lots of ups and downs, normal stuff. I have like really good weeks, and then other weeks it's just like, when does this year end? Oh my gosh. But overall, very good and healthy, so I can't complain.
Good. I see you have your
energy
big
up. That's the big takeaway, too. As long as we're staying healthy, that's the most important thing, right?
Yeah. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing well. Like I said, I see that your Christmas tree is up. We're putting ours up currently right now. It's a big tree, though, so it's taking a lot of extensive work. But it's a family situation. We're all putting some work into this, except for Ashley. She gets away with it. I don't know why. It's ridiculous. But we're doing well. I think it's the same thing. 2020, like, it's just so many ups and downs, and it's crazy because even when this year ends, I see it on TikTok all the time, but I kind of believe it a little bit, where everybody's like counting down the new year. It's like 3, 2, 1, round two. And it's like, yeah, I don't know if this is going to end in 2020. So hopefully I'm hopeful that, like, once the weather starts turning in spring, summer of 2021, we're going to be back into some sense of normalcy. Fingers crossed.
I agree with that.
I don't want to be the Grinch or anything for you guys, but I just want to refresh your memories, maybe the listeners' memories as well. It's only November. It is actually, of this recording, November 20th. And what are the Christmas trees doing up already? That's my question.
Bro, it's 2020. Get into the holiday spirit.
Just because it's 2020 doesn't mean it's a holiday a year long.
Yeah.
We just want something to look forward to. And my sister actually has three Christmas trees growing up. I'm at my sister's house. This one's already decorated. She has another one by the dining table, and she's going to put another one by the entrance of the house. So,
I mean, I guess I respect the festiveness of it.
But my family really loves Christmas. Like, for my dad's birthday last year, his birthday's in July, we had a Christmas lunch where we decorated a tree. We hosted like a Christmas dinner. It's just like, they love Christmas.
This is in July, you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's like kind of like a half Christmas.
Yeah, they love Christmas.
Yeah, you celebrate the 6 months. It's a 6 month countdown to Christmas, bro. Get with the times.
I don't know. I've never been a big fan of Christmas. I don't know why.
Really?
I guess, yeah, I don't know. I guess I think maybe the lack of a nuclear family has made me kind of just shy away from the Christmas celebrations. But that's not to say I'm not happy for you guys for getting your trees up. I do love a good, well-decorated Christmas tree. Jared was saying he's got all these pictures of himself, or I'm sorry, of like Ashley and Lauren when they were kids. We used to do that same thing. We always had these like ski passes from when we were like toddlers that we would hang on our Christmas tree that were always really funny. But I don't know. But Bibiana, do you have any fun decorations that you put on your Christmas tree? Your sisters, I guess?
And my sisters are so type A, they want to make sure everything's perfect, that I kind of just ask, like, where should I put this? Because every time I feel that I get involved, I do something wrong. So I kind of just let them take the lead. Like, you guys decide. They pick the theme. And I'm like, how can I participate? Because both of them are, like, mom mode. Like, everything has to be perfect. And I get too nervous with that. I'm like, ugh.
Baby, I got a question for you. So you are, for the listeners that haven't listened to last week's What a Girl Wants, go check that out, because Bibby hosts that episode of What a Girl Wants for us. But Bibby, I want to talk more about what you discussed on that episode, because you talked about a lot of like your emotions post-show, right?
Yeah. I co-hosted it with a girlfriend of mine, Brittany Berger. She is a fantastic, like, motivational speaker, and she's also an author. She wrote a book when she was 25, and she just has like all this energy. And we just kind of delve into like dating, what are deal breakers for us? A lot of what we talked about had to do with like when you're dating and energy, just like following your intuition. And then things like, do you agree of your boyfriend having a best friend of the opposite sex? You know, like those type of topics. What do you guys think? I'm always curious to like pick a guy's brain on this.
It's a very complicated
answer. I agree. I agree. It's super complicated. I mean, you ended up with your best friend.
Yeah, I mean, I did. Now, funny enough, my other best friend is also a female, and she's the one who signed me up for The Bachelor, but she's far more of a sister. I find that you are allowed to have friends of the opposite sex as long as your partner is also friends with them as well. You can't, like, I've heard situations where, like, a guy will be friends with a girl, and then the wife is not allowed, like, isn't really close with the girl, and there's like some weird animosity there because they're both females, and it just creates always a bad situation. So I find that if you have a friend that's the opposite sex, make sure that your partner feels comfortable with them, that they're friends with them as well, and then that usually smooths things over.
Yeah, I agree. I've always been an advocate for having friends of the opposite sex. I think it can kind of go both ways. It's like, let's say you're dating someone and you have a best friend or like a really good friend who is the opposite sex, and the person that you're dating like starts to say that they're not comfortable with you hanging out with them. Then in my opinion, it's kind of like, well, like A, you should trust the friendship for what it is as a friendship, right? Like, I don't understand why you would not let me or whoever it is hang out with someone just because of your own insecurities. And so, like, that kind of, to me, is a red flag for the relationship rather than, like, discontinuing a friendship over it. Mm-hmm. But that's just my take on it. Like, for instance, I have a really good girlfriend back in L.A. Who is also friends with Kaylin. And I want to say, like, when I was younger, I would be fearful of, like, wanting to hang out with her because of just, I don't know, upsetting my girlfriend or whatever. But as I've gotten older, I've been able to, I guess, distinguish everything a little bit better. But that's just my take on it. I think they're okay. I think they're totally permissible. As long as, like Jared said, communication is paramount. And as long as your significant other is also friends with that person, or maybe not like best friends as you would be, but like at least like cordial and friendly enough to where you kind of like know what's going on at all times. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with that. I had a partner last year, the guy that I was dating last year, he had many girlfriends that he was really close to. And I never felt insecure about it. I also think it's like his approach to it, where as soon as we met, like it was around other friends and he was really comfortable with like bringing me along to anything that he did with his best girl, like his best friends that were girls, or like even if he took a trip with one of his girlfriends to go visit her, and I never felt uncomfortable at all. I think it has a lot to do with like how confident and the guy is in setting those boundaries and welcoming you into those friendships. Yeah. It's kind of what you just said, like, it's totally permissible. It's okay as long as, you know, your partner is included in it.
Right.
I've only felt insecure in situations like that where it's like they've been intimate and they're still communicating and it's not really a friendship. It's more like just a lingered, like, you know, situationship that kind of just...
Like they're still holding on to some like sexual feelings kind of thing.
Right, right. Those are the times where I'm like, well, is this really a friendship?
Yeah, that's sketch. I don't know. If there's like any type of sexual chemistry between the two of them, and they're being weird, no. That's a red flag. That's something that you need to put a squash to.
Yeah, and I think it's hard as women to kind of identify those boundaries with like not feeling like, damn, I'm crazy. Like, I don't want to be the girlfriend, but... I guess in my situation, I've had experiences where, yes, my partner had a lot of girlfriends and I never felt uncomfortable. And then I've had a partner that still carried on relationships from his past that weren't actual friendships. And that made me feel uncomfortable. So as women, sometimes it's hard to like, am I following my intuition? Like, how do I set these new boundaries without him feeling that I'm trying to be controlling? Because that's not what I want out of a relationship. You know, like you want to be able to have your partner feel like he can be free and, you know, have these friendships. But I think at certain points, like if your guy isn't comfortable with welcoming you into these friendships and there's like, I don't know about that.
Red flag.
Mm-hmm. Massive red flag. So we talk about that. We talk about sleeping on the first date, if it's like a good thing or a bad thing. Mainly just because, like, I feel like as women as well, like, sometimes it's a double-edged sword. I think guys can get away with it a little bit more. And then just energetically, like, we don't think it's a bad thing if you don't want a relationship and you kind of just want to mess around and, like, figure out what you're doing in life, by all means, welcome it. But I do feel that sleeping on the first date or really early on in your relationship when you're trying to call in or manifest, some, like, a partner can be conflicting. So if you're trying to like have a boyfriend, you kind of have to set your boundaries to figure out like whether you really like this guy or not before sleeping with him, versus if you just kind of want to do your thing and have fun, then totally, like, it doesn't really matter what happens. And I've definitely been in situations where I've slept with a guy early on and then a relationship comes from it, but it's not really like the common thing, you know. I think like sometimes it's the exception.
I've got a question for you. Do you mind updating us on your current dating life?
Yeah. So I didn't talk about it in this episode with What a Girl Wants. I was super reserved, but then I went on to the Almost Famous podcast with Ben and Ashley, and those two, man, it's just like, boom, boom, boom. You like can't escape it whatsoever.
They're pros, man. They get you.
Man, like... talk about, and it's so smooth. It's like, I can't, and I'm such a bad liar. And then when you're doing these like via Zoom, it's just like, I can't avoid this. I am seeing someone. It's been really I guess it's nerve wracking for me, because my last relationship, I was super open about it, super happy, and then very public. And then when it didn't work out, it was like really hard to take that hit. Mm-hmm. So with this one, it really happened unexpectedly. Like, we met early on in the year, and then he doesn't live in Miami. So, you know, he would come back and forth and visit, and then COVID happened. So we quarantined together. And then that was, I think, really difficult for us, because it was really lovely. It felt like basically a little bit of a honeymoon stage, but our relationship wasn't well established. And I guess this is where I can relate to like setting your boundaries prior. You know, we kind of just like grew into really feeling like, damn, we really like each other. And then I wanted to protect that. Like, I didn't really want to be so open about it, because I think I'm at the stage also where I'm ready to like take things slow to figure out like, okay, is this going to be a partner that I feel comfortable being public with? And also, sometimes I feel like it's okay to not be public about everything.
I couldn't agree more.
It's crazy too how much it changes. Do you remember like the term Facebook official of like what, 5 or 6 or 7 years ago? That was like a big step. But then now all of a sudden you have, you know, however many Instagram followers, and becoming like Instagram official, quote unquote, becomes an even bigger step. And it's like, then you become immediately tied with the person that you're like, you're announcing your relationship with. And then if things don't work out, then there's just like a whole weird process that none of us are like equipped to handle.
It's so crazy how social media has changed the dating game, because like you said, if you're dating in real life, but you don't, for example, change your Facebook status from single to in a relationship, I feel like it causes insecurities in the relationship, because it's like, well, why can't you tell your friends or your family or make it public that we're dating? And then you're like, well, I just kind of want to take it slow. And then it creates doubt in the other person's mind, because then they're like, well, are you trying to hide me? Are you trying to hide something else? Is there a reason why you're not making it public? And it's crazy how social media has become this conversation in dating that just never was there before. I guess it's kind of good, because it also brings more light to people who are being sketchy within a relationship, because not only do you have to, you know, be committed in a private way, but you also have to be committed in a public way. But it's just insane to me, you know? And I guess we've been pretty lucky. I mean, I've been very lucky, just because over the past few years, you know, being in such a public relationship, it's just, you know, Ashley and I kind of, you know, had many conversations early on about like, all right, we're just going to, you know, put it out there. But it's duh.
I think it's so hard. I love that both of you guys have your relationships are public, so then it can just be something that you don't really have to think about when it comes to social media. It makes it like, it's just like a graceful transition, because the whole world already knows you're together. But even things like this is, I mean, my friend might kill me for this, but you know, I was catching up with a good friend of mine the other day, and she's been dating this guy or whatever. And just like naturally you start talking about your best friends and the people that are involved in your life. And, she noticed, I guess, like they talked about me and how was I was on the show or whatever. She noticed that he started to follow me, but I've never met the guy. So she's like, I don't know, it like made her feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I think it would make me feel uncomfortable too. And so I don't know, she's like, I don't know how to approach this, because it's like such a mind, like it's such a, like not an issue, mm-hmm. you know, it's so trivial. But now like navigating with social media and getting to know someone, and you know, I tried to really challenge her and be like, okay, forget that it's me. Like, what's really at the core of like, why did this actually really bother you? But essentially it's just like, what do you like, how would you feel if a girl's like, hey, you just started following one of my really good friends that you haven't met that like I just told you about, and it kind of made me feel weird. Like, what do you guys do in that? Like,
oh, it's so funny because, one of Ashley's friends, ex-boyfriends now, was always in the mix and would, you know, watch the show or, you know, kind of know people through Ashley and me. And then he'd follow them. And a lot of them are single girls from the show. And like you said, all the girls that go on Bachelor are stunning. And so he would follow some of them and then like some of their pictures. And it always made Ashley's friends super uncomfortable, because it's not like you're doing anything wrong because you're just following somebody. But like, why? why are you following? Why are you liking like bikini photos? I don't know. It was, it's so weird. It adds such another layer to dating. That's already such a complicated issue. It's exhausting. I'm glad we're all in relationships.
Yeah. So I gave myself a rule early on last year. Well, the beginning of this year, really, that like anybody that I met, I wasn't going to try to find them on social media. Mm-hmm. Because I think that we can perceive all these things. Like, what if there's an old girlfriend picture, like all these things and like all like red flags that pop up to you that maybe you're just making up based on past experiences and your own insecurities. So I made it a point. I'm like, I'm not going on this guy's Instagram. If I like somebody, I'm just not going to judge them based on like what they post or what they do. I want to get to know this person or whatever. So I have this rule, like, don't follow him on social media. Like, mm-hmm. don't look at his page, because then you start to spiral. And this is something that I've experienced. And it's so hard. Once you open the gates of like trolling, like, I mean, like when you just like go deep down into this,
the trenches, you find out who that person's second grade science teacher was.
It's a nightmare. And it's just like, why would I expose myself to this? You know? Yeah. So I have like my partner now, I do not follow him on Instagram. Like he's not very active on there, but it's something that I implemented in the beginning and then just felt like, you know, maybe it's my own fears attached to it that like in the event like something doesn't work out, I just don't want to go through the whole like, oh, now I have to unfollow him. But more so, I think it's based off of just respect. And then sometimes, you know, being someone, I'm not saying that like I'm relevant anymore, but the fear of just like that social anxiety of someone like knowing and like having this opinion.
I mean, hey, Kaylin and I don't follow each other on Instagram and we're happily a year and a half into our relationship. So
really,
I think you're onto something. I think that there is something to be said about
that. Wait a minute. You don't follow Kaylin?
Never have, never will.
Shut up. Does she follow you?
Nope.
I'm fact checking this right now.
I agree with everything Bibby is saying. It's like all it does for you is get yourself in your own head, especially in the beginning stages. Like now, sure, it would be a little bit different because Kaylin and I have like a deeper understanding of each other. But especially like in the beginning, all you're doing is like setting yourself up to kind of get in your own head. But yeah, I don't know. I agree. What'd you find, Jared?
Oh my God. She doesn't follow you. Holy sh! Cause I looked at her Instagram first. Cause it's very believable that you don't follow her, but she doesn't follow you. Wow.
It makes me feel less alone. I love this. We just totally start a movement. Like, don't follow the people you're dating or you like.
It's beyond that too, it's especially people that have amassed a following in any sort of way. It's like, let's say you and your partner get on the rocks and like you guys unfollow each other for a short amount of time. Then people recognize that and they're like, oh my God, there's trouble in paradise, whatever. But like if you never follow each other in the first place, it's like no one's got any basis to like make these audacious claims about. I think there's some method to the madness, Bibby. I think you should keep it up. I think it's a good move. But for the listeners out there that want to get more of Bibby, and why wouldn't you, be sure to check out her What a Girl Wants episode. Check out Bibby on Instagram. If you're interested in dating her, be sure not to follow her because that is not the method anymore. But Bibby, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Thank you for being the host of What a Girl Wants this week. It's good to hear that things are going well for you.
Thank you for having me, guys. It was really good to see both of you.
It was great seeing you, too. Take care. Stay safe.
Bye, guys.
Bye, Bibby.
All right, well, that was Bibby from The Bachelor, Bachelor Winter Games, Bachelor Paradise. We've always talked about that. Be sure to check her out on What a Girl Wants. That aired the other day. Stick around. We have Justine and Caleb from Love Island coming up next.
Welcome back to Help, I Suck at Dating. Of course, I am joined by Dean Unglert, and we have two wonderful guests that are on the line, on the Zoom line right now. Now, you watched their love story unfold on Love Island, which just wrapped up season 2 in the United States. It is Justin Diba and Caleb Corpru, who won Love Island season 2. Congratulations, guys. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks
for having us.
Oh my God, of course. Well, my first question, obviously, I'll do Justine first because ladies first, of course. What was your experience filming like, and did you really think you were going to find love on Love Island?
So I was definitely hopeful that I'd find love on Love Island. I came in there so ready. I was like, I love love. I'm passionate about love. So I was like, I'm ready to go in there and find the real thing. And yeah, I just like, I was super hopeful. I was not expecting to actually find it, but I was hopeful.
How about you, Caleb?
I definitely did not expect to find it. It's kind of the last thing I thought would actually happen in such a short amount of time. But it was a wonderful experience, like going in there and getting close to someone in such a short amount of time. That was awesome, but not what I expected going into it.
I got a question for you guys. So I'm not much of a reality TV watcher, which is funny because obviously the only reason all of us are here is because we all went on reality television. Explain this format for Love Island a little bit. Jared said that you guys won, but what exactly does winning like constitute?
$100,000.
Really?
Well, $100,000 split by two.
Split.
And then Uncle Sam has to take yeah. that too. So.
But which, Caleb, but like, you were very sweet to split. I mean, that was like the least dramatic moment on the season, though, because we all knew you weren't going to keep the money. Did that thought even cross your mind that you were going to keep the $100,000 and not share with Justine?
There was 0% chance of me keeping any of the money. I would have gave it all to her before I split it, just because I know that America would have just dragged me through this whole for sure.
Hey, you would have gave it all to me. I mean, oh,
shit. That wouldn't happen. Thankfully, that wasn't an option, because America honestly would have been mad if I split it instead of giving it all to her. So I'm glad that wasn't even an option.
So what makes you guys the winners then? Did you have to like, there are other couples on the show, I would imagine, right? Is there like some sort of competition format or something near the end that you guys were able to beat out the other couples for, or how does that work?
Yeah, so towards the end, America gets to vote on their favorite couple.
Gotcha. I'm sorry. I'm so far out of the loop with this stuff. Even like Bachelorette, I haven't watched any of that stuff. Wow. I'm just slacking. I know. I need to get like a cable subscription. I know. I'm very fraudulent. Well, the thing is, I don't have cable in the van. So it's like, what am I supposed to do? I got to lean on Jared to keep me updated. He's been keeping me in the dark on all this stuff.
Caleb, in case you didn't know, Dean lives in a van. It's a very big thing.
I literally just found this out as you said it. Can I get some background on that real quick? Do we have time?
We'll jump into it maybe off air. I'm sure Jared's got all some right. more questions too. I got some questions for you guys too. So you guys both said you were open to love, and that's funny too, because I feel like a lot of people that go on Bachelor, Bachelorette are very similar. They're like, well, I'm open to the idea, but I just like want to have a fun adventure and see what comes of it too. And that seems like what happens with both of you guys too, right? And so you guys are still together, right?
Yep.
why are we recording in separate households, it looks like?
Well, if this was in 5 hours, you could do it in the same spot, but my flight doesn't leave for another 2.5 hours, so that was a little early.
So Justine, you live in Jersey, right? And Caleb, you live in LA?
Yeah.
So have you guys talked about moving yet? Because I read that you guys, when you guys left the show, I assumed that you were boyfriend girlfriend, but you guys have said that you're not, right?
Thanks. Coming out with the heavy hitters just like that.
Ooh, I'm coming out. That's what I do. There's no jabs in my game. It's all a right hook. It's one right hook and that's it.
Yeah, well, I'm headed to see her in Jersey tonight, actually. We're going to meet the fam. You know, you got to get that blessing in person. We're going to meet mm-hmm. the friends. We're going to go on a normal date without cameras and microphones. And now we can start take some like normal steps in the right direction.
Yeah. We didn't want to pressure on ourselves in any way. So we were like, let's just take this one step at a time. So that's what we're doing.
No, that's very smart. I mean, you get out of an experience like that. I mean, Dean and I can relate, where everything's so heightened and dramatic. I think it's probably best to just take a step back and slow things down. And it's a good way to start by meeting the family.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous, but I think they'll show me some love.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a good call all around. Caleb, I'm creeping your Instagram right now. You guys are a very attractive couple too. I just had to point that out. I got a question for you guys both as well. Is there anything that you kind of came out of the process having learned about yourselves? Because you kind of get put through the pressure cooker, right? So is there anything that you could look back on and be like, oh, I learned this about myself during that time?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely did. I know you guys didn't really like watch it, but I had a pretty hard time in there. So I was like struggling with.
I watched it.
Oh, did you?
Well, I didn't see the whole thing, but I saw most of it. And I saw pretty much a lot of what you guys. I saw your my favorite moment was when you guys, obviously, Caleb, you told Justine that you loved her in wherever, the, Nevada, mm-hmm. somewhere. Was that like the Grand Canyon? Where the hell
Grand
was that?
Grand Canyon, Arizona, Grand Canyon was.
Yeah. So I'm sorry to interrupt. Justine, continue, please.
No, it's okay. I'm glad you watched some of it.
Yeah.
So I actually had a really hard time early on in the beginning. And so it kind of, you know, I took a few gut punches, like my self-confidence was really low, but I was able to just kind of like get my confidence back, learn a lot of self-love coming out of there. So that was my biggest thing for me, leaving.
Nice. Love it.
What about you, Caleb?
Yeah.
What did you learn about yourself going through that process?
I think like heading into the process of like even trying to be casted for the show, like I was, you know, kind of like a heightened version of myself. And I walked in there with what, going into it, I like perceived this confidence, you know? But then when you go into like a controlled environment where you're constantly like talking about your emotions and feelings, which is not something I would usually did in the past, kind of revealed that like that was an area that I was lacking confidence in. Or when you have to cover yourself up with baby oil and rip your pants off in front of millions of people at home watching it, you know, that's not something I would normally ever do. But because you're in there and you're in this controlled environment, you find like the courage to do that. So I feel like I walked out of there with like just a total different perception of what confidence actually is, and like have a better sense of like self-assurance.
So how's long distance been? That's my question. Because there's a lot of people going through long distance relationships right now. And you guys obviously live pretty much as far away as you can from each other. So what are some of the things that you guys do to make sure that you keep the relationship in love, happy?
What you got? What you got, Justine? What you got?
If you come at my phone right now, we're going to fight. No, so we have a lot of phone calls, which is definitely helpful. It's just like weird coming out of the villa too and having each other's numbers and being able to talk on the phone. Like, it's so new for us, but that's definitely the main way. We don't get to FaceTime a lot.
She doesn't have an iPhone.
All right. Oh, Justine.
Team Android for life.
Oh, why? Man. You got to adapt. You got to get the iPhone. If nothing but just to FaceTime with Caleb.
I know. That's honestly the only reason I'd consider it. But I have WhatsApp. We can video chat on there all the time, but he hates it.
I plead the fifth.
Yeah. No, I mean, I can see exactly why you guys are waiting to make the decision of whether you're going to be boyfriend or girlfriend. You don't know these things when you're on the show. You know, she found out she was an Android user on the show.
I'm didn't sure even know this. Lived together for a month. Didn't even know she had an Android.
Like, you text her, the green bubbles pop up, and you're like, oh, what did I get myself into?
It's like, is her phone not on? What's going on?
Bubbles? I can't.
Oh, man.
You know what's funny? So when I started dating my girlfriend, now my wife, Ashley, we were friends for like 3 years before we started dating. And it was always very easy to talk to her. I never felt awkward. And then as soon as we started crossing from friendship to relationship, I started awkwardly texting her. Like, I was overthinking everything I was saying, and I was like typing something and then thinking to myself, that's so stupid, and erasing it and then typing something different. And then I was like, what am I doing? I've known this girl for 3 years. Why am I so awkward? So Caleb and Justine, I was curious if you guys kind of went through something similar, because obviously you went through this intense experience where you told each other that you love one another, and then you get back into the real world and you're like, oh, like, I don't even know how to text someone, and I've already told them I love them. So did you, like, was that kind of like, for lack of a better term, just like mess with your mind a little bit?
I mean, yeah, we're going through it right now. Like, just even you on the topic of texting, you know, we have only interacted up until this point face-to-face. Every single one of our conversations have been face-to-face. And then it wasn't until we left that we had to talk on the phone. It wasn't until we left we had to decipher each other's text messages. And like, we're having to just figure out a totally different way to communicate. I'm a really, really, really bad texter. I'll take the blame for that. But like, even just before we hopped on this, it was like 6 minutes ago. I'm like, I haven't talked to her in a few hours. Let me at least pick up the phone and call her. So it's not like we're just seeing each other's faces for the first time, you know, on this call. So like, just there's no, we don't have like a consistent pace yet, but like we're trying to figure out as we go. I think we're doing okay so far.
Justine?
No, I think we're also definitely figuring each other out in different ways. And just like, I think the biggest thing for us is like reading each other's tone through text message. So a lot of the time he's like, girl, just tell me when you're upset. Like I can't read your mind. So it's one of those things where it's like, I tend to overthink some things and then he's trying to read my like mood or tone over text message. So I think that's definitely the hardest part. And I'm like, we need this trip right now. Like we just need like
for sure.
connection again.
It's so funny too, because it's so contrary to how it normally is, like out in the real world. You basically are flipping it backwards. Whereas if you guys met in real life, you would like be texting each other and calling each other before you really knew each other that well. But in this case, you guys got to know each other really well, just face to face for the whole month that you guys, you know, lived together, like you said. And now you're forced to kind of not even like take a step back, but just like learn how that person operates on their phone, which is a big part of a relationship, especially a long distance one, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I can see that as a challenge. I've got a question for you guys. How did you guys both get on the show? I always love a good like origin story of the person and how they like ended up on the show in the first place. Was it your friends, your family? Did you put yourself up for it? How did that all happen?
I think her story is a little bit better than mine.
Mine?
Yeah.
We'll be the judge of that.
I actually applied. One of my friends was like, Justine, you'd crush this. Like, you'd be really great. I was like, I mean, say less. So I put in the application and it's not that great of a story. They picked me, but I think that the same person that chose Caleb and the person that chose me, I think was the same person, was it not?
Oh yeah, we got casted by like the same person.
Yeah.
Oh, the same casting producer?
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, they knew. They knew that you guys were going to be America's favorite couple.
Match made in heaven. Match made in Hollywood.
Match made in Hollywood. Where was it filmed? Awesome. Was it filmed in Hawaii?
No.
Oh man, we're in Vegas. We're on they turned the Cromwell Hotel has Dre's nightclub on top of it.
Okay.
And they turned into a villa. They filmed in Fiji last year, but everything going on this year, we can go abroad.
Love Island turned into Love Vegas. But you know what? I mean, if you're ever gonna find love in a place, isn't it nice to do it in Vegas? Isn't Vegas like, you know, where everybody gets married anyway?
For sure. I think it was both of ours first time in Vegas too. So
oh, that's cool. That's
a good first time in Vegas story for sure.
Yeah, that's really cool. You met somebody you fell in love with, and who knows what the future has in store for you guys. Well, Justine, Caleb, we can't thank you enough for coming on. We really appreciate it, guys. America's favorite couple from Love Island season 2. Now, of course, you guys are on all social platforms, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. You can follow Justine at JustineJoy312, and you can follow Caleb, again, on all the same social media platforms at CXCO_exclamation point. How did you get that username?
Wait, there's no exclamation point. That might have just
been... Oh, that's just the end of the sentence for me. Never mind. No explanation point, just at CXCO. Never mind. Very cool. Justine, Caleb, thank you so much.
Yeah, really thanks appreciate guys for joining it. Us.
Thank you guys. It's so crazy. I'm so excited to meet you guys.
Yeah, likewise. Oh. Best of luck. We're so excited. Caleb, travel safely out to Jersey. We're looking forward to some updates from you guys.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. We appreciate it. It was good being here.
Of course. Best of luck.
All right. Welcome back. Another episode of Help I Suck at Dating in the books. But before we go, Jared, I know you are just itching to get to something over there. So what do you got for us?
Well, we have an email and I have a dating term. This dating term actually is brought to you by Plenty of Fish, because Ashley and I have been doing this dine and dish, and we do dating terms with Plenty of Fish as well. And this one, I thought it would be interesting to see what you would think the definition of. The dating term is hey and pray. Hey and
hey
pray.
And pray.
Hey and pray.
Tell me, is it H-E-Y and pray or H-A-Y? Oh, and then it's pray, P-R-E-Y or P-R-A-Y.
Like jumping in the hay or finding a needle in a haystack? No, it's hey, H-E-Y, like hey.
And pray, is it like pray or is it like pray?
Like praying mantis? Oh, like pray, like you're about to be eaten. No, it's pray. So it's P-R-A-Y and hey, H-E-Y.
Okay, well, hey and pray must be then. I'll take this one first, guys. It's got to be just like
you know, when you're drunk and single and it's 2 a.m. and you're going home and you just basically fire off a bunch of you up texts, the hey and praise, that same method, you're just shooting out a bunch of hays and seeing how many bites you get back. So it's like the spray and pray method is you just kind of close your eyes, shoot from the hip and see what you hit, what you hit. The hay and pray method has to be something similar. You fire out a bunch of hays from the hip, whichever ones land, then you kind of go from there. Mark, what do you think?
I mean, I agree with Dean. I also, it's funny, I also saw this as H-A-Y when you first read it. So I was thinking you hit the hay with somebody and, and then you pray that it turns into something more than just a one-night stand. So that's where nice. I was going. But the H-E-Y and pray, yeah, I'm with Dean. This is just putting it out, putting out a bunch of hays and praying that something comes of it on dating apps.
Right.
Yes, you guys are obviously both correct. Hay and pray. I'm trying to get the official definition, but it is when you send multiple hays and never hear back. So it's like, hey, hello, how are you? What's up? Where somebody, like, mostly this happens with a guy, will send like 6 or 7 text messages.
Or to one person?
To one person before the other person responds. So it's just you're throwing hays out there and you're praying for a response. I feel like guys do this too much. Like, listen, you send a text out there. If she doesn't respond, I think you give it like a day or two. You send another feeler out, and if she doesn't respond to that, cut it off.
Question for you both. How many hays do you drop until the praying stops?
I think Jared's right. I think it's 2. I think any more than 2. It's like with a text. When you can fill up your iPhone screen and everything you see is blue, you need to back off and let that person respond or give up.
Yeah, it's Agreed. 2 max. If you start doing 3 or 4, you're going to be labeled a stalker, whether you are or not. So just send out one, like swallow your pride, send out a text. And then if you don't hear anything and you really like this person, send out another one. And if they don't respond, I'm sorry. It's over. I wish I could tell you something more optimistic, but it's over. You might have lost the love of your life. I don't know, but she ain't texting back.
All right, Jared, I got a question here from Sydney. She wants to know, Dean and Jared, if you were The Bachelor, out of the 30-plus contestants, how many of them would be considered ex-girlfriends? So I think she's saying, like, after the fact, after the season's done filming, you're engaged to your fiance or whatever, how many would you consider to be your ex-girlfriend from the show?
Maybe 2. Most likely just 1. Most likely just 1. I mean, all right, let me ask you this, Dean. Both of us were 4th. Do you consider Rachel an ex-girlfriend?
Yeah, sure, why not?
What do you mean, sure, why not? Is it a yes or a no?
I think I do say it, but I say it kind of like comically, you know, because I know in my heart of hearts that it's not, that she wasn't, and I don't consider that, but I just think that it's funnier to say that, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I do agree, maybe one other, but yeah, I think even one is a stretch. I would say I wouldn't really consider any of them. I'm sure Rachel doesn't look back and think she's got any ex-boyfriends from our season, or I'm sure Caitlin doesn't look back. Well, except for Sean, obviously, but...
I don't know. I'm curious if Caitlin would consider Nick an ex-boyfriend. I think she would, because I think when you have top 2, those are pretty intimate relationships, and I think Rachel, I can't speak for her, but I'd be curious if Rachel considers Peter an ex-boyfriend. What do you think? You're friends with Peter.
I would be shocked. I would be shocked if either of them considered each other their own exes. Like if Rachel considered Peter an ex and Peter considered Rachel. Well, I guess I don't know. Now that I say it, I could be mistaken. But I would still, I'm leaning towards saying that they don't consider. Because especially like you come out of it engaged, Rachel's now married to Brian. It's like, I don't think that she would ever consider her like origin story of how she met her fiance while she was also girlfriends to, you know, a couple other guys on the show. I think it's just like she's always dialed in on Brian.
Interesting.
That's just my take on it.
No, that's a good take. I like it. And that was also a question from Sydney, who's an avid listener to the podcast. We appreciate you, Sydney. You're awesome. She's DM'd me a couple times on Instagram. We've talked about the podcast and how much a fan she is. So thank you, Sydney, for the question. We really appreciate it. And I think that will do it for this week's Help I Suck at Dating. Big thank you to Bibiana. Make sure everybody, if you haven't already listened, go check out What a Girl Wants. It dropped last Thursday. It's a great episode with Bibiana. She's fantastic. Big thank you to Caleb and Justine from Love Island. We wish them nothing but the best. Big thank you to you, Dean, for being awesome. Big thank you to, like we said, Sydney. And I guess that's really it. Hopefully everybody out there has a great and safe Thanksgiving. And make sure you tune in next week where hopefully we all suck a little less.
Follow Help! I Suck at Dating on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.